the Rugby Union Podcast.
Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast. I'm Michael Casey and we're looking forward to the second weekend of the 2015 Six Nations. It was a bright start for England going to the Millennium Stadium and beating Wales last weekend. And this weekend, they're going to be in action against Italy. I'm delighted to say that joining me on the line is a former England international, Jeff Probyn. Jeff, we didn't quite expect the result that Stuart Lancaster's men pulled out last week, but it was a well-deserved performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly, Michael. It was a bit of a surprise. I mean, you know, on paper you looked at it and, like all the bookies, it was along the lines that Wales had their best side out, England had all the injury problems. Likelihood was that Wales were going to win, but England put in a really gutsy performance. I thought they displayed the set-piece strength that we actually did speak about. We did say if England's set-piece plays well, and they played remarkably well, they just put pressure on Wales, just enough pressure to steal the game. And it was, you know, a very, very good result for England. It's very positive with them moving forward.
Certainly was. As you said, the set-piece we highlighted has been somewhere where the game could well be won or lost, and Joe Marler seemed to cause problems for young Samson Lee on the tight head side for Wales all day long. And there was a lot of encouraging performances for England and the coaching staff from players who maybe haven't been regulars in the side. I know James Haskell, you could argue, was perhaps at fault for Wales' first try, but apart from that, had a fine game. The back line, the centre pair of Luther Burrell and Jonathan Joseph also going very well, and young Anthony Watson on the wing, just some of the players who you wouldn't maybe suggest were going to be some of the first ones down the team sheet maybe later in the year in the World Cup, but certainly putting their hands up for a place in that starting 15.
Well, I think they put a marker down, and the mere fact that that Stuart Lancaster has chosen to stick with the same team says an awful lot about some players. I mean, George Cruz as well, starting his first international last week. He played really, really well for the time he was on the field, and you know, he carried the ball well, he tackled well, he got involved, and really laid down a marker for himself. Billy Vinopona certainly answered the critics who were saying, you know, he's not been playing well. Ben Morgan was such a force in the autumn. Vinopona needed a good game, and he produced a good game on the day. So lots of players who are established, and as you say, the unestablished ones, the Anthony Watsons of this world, who got a fantastic try. Great play by Mike Brown, that little chip through when the rush defence and Watson's pace taking him clear. Brilliant. And Jonathan Joseph got the chance. Fortunately, George North went a bit high with his tackle. He thought he was tackling a usual centre rather than the short one that is Joseph. And he slipped under the tackle and went in for that try, a second try for England, which really was the clincher that won England the game.
Yes, but whilst we've obviously got our bias, we must also mention there were wins for Ireland and France, of course, last week. Having seen the performances for Ireland against Italy and then France, of course, against Scotland, who would you say at this stage is going to be the biggest threat or perhaps even the favourite for the Six Nations title?
Well, we did talk about it last week, and you know, you've still got to say with Ireland, despite the fact that Ireland didn't really play as well as we expected in Italy, and you know, playing in Rome is always a difficult thing to do. A lot of people underestimate what the Italians are like, but you play them, when you play them away, like England are playing them at Twickenham this week, they're a different team. When they play in Rome, they play with a passion, and there is a level of play that they've come to expect, that they can actually compete with teams when they're in Rome. And they've had success there over a number of years. I mean, they beat Ireland a couple of years ago there. So from an Italian point of view, this was a big game for them. And it didn't come out right. But the Irish, I thought, without Johnny Sexton playing, without Heaslip playing, losing Sean O'Brien so close to the kickoff, it disrupted their flow a bit. And they didn't really perform as well as I'd expected them to, but they got that game out of the way, and they'll be looking forward to this week.
Methodical, perhaps. Well, we'll start off, we'll go chronologically and talk about this weekend's game. The first game of the second round of fixtures sees England back at Twickenham, and they do indeed host Italy, the Azzurri. It's going to be Johnny Lacey taking charge of this fixture at HQ. England name an unchanged 15 from the side that won in Cardiff last week, and I guess you'd probably say that's about fair enough. There's a couple of changes. There's a quite a few changes made for Italy for this fixture. In fact, they brought in a few of the old guard. Mara Bergamasco has been recalled to the side, as has Marco Bortolami. They go with a backline of Luke McLean, Leonardo Sarto, Luca Marizzi, Andrea Massi, Giambattista Venditti. Kelly Harmona continues at fly half outside Eduardo Gori, and up front it's De Marchi, Geraldini, Castro Giovanni, second row of Bortolami and Biaggi, and a back row, a familiar looking back row of Bergamasco, Minto and Sergio Parisse. Just looking at the betting for this one then, as you might expect, Jeff, England are firm favourites. They are 1 to 150. Italy are 20 to 1. The handicap is set at 20 points. I mean, obviously, you'd have to be a far richer man than I to be making any money off 1 to 150 shot. Do you think that the 28-point margin at Twickenham, with England showing the level of performance that they did last week, is reasonable? Or do you think that Italy could perhaps keep it a bit tighter, Jeff?
I think Italy will keep it a bit tighter. I think that, you know, it's doing Italy a disservice. They've pulled out the old guard for their forwards, so they're expecting a very strong forward battle from England. And, you know, basically that's what we saw last week. We saw England's forwards play. We didn't really see much from the backs. As much as George Paul did kick well and controlled the game well, there wasn't a lot of back play seen. I expect us to see a little bit more back play this week. But you look at the Italian side, Luke McLean has now moved back to fullback. Massi's come into the centre, so they're trying to strengthen up that area of the back line. And Jacques Brunel, the Italian coach, it's his last year there. He wants to go out with a bang, and a bang for him will be going to Twickenham and coming away with a good result, not necessarily a win, but a good result, something closer. I think that, you know, Italy will lose the game, but I think it will be a closer game. I think it's likely, unless there are any refereeing decisions that bring in red cards or yellow cards, if there's 15 men both sides, I can see the Italians losing by between only 10 and 15 points.
Well, that would certainly see them fall within the handicap. It's 10 to 11 for Italy, plus 28 points in the 80 minutes handicap betting. In the winning margins, we've got a variety of different ones. So, for agreeing with you, looking at this, between 16 and 20 point winning margin for England, that's a 13 to 2 shot. So, money to be made there if you think England win it by between 16 and 20 points. Jeff, we have also got the try scorers priced up any time for this weekend's game, first and last also, as well as two or more or hat-trick even. You said you expect to see the backs brought into play a little bit more. The centre part pairing look pretty good for England. We've got the two try scorers for England in the betting as second and third favs. Anthony Watson is even money to score this weekend. Jonathan Joseph 5-4. Favourite in the market is Johnny May. Are there any players in the England side that you'd potentially fancy as an anytime try scorer this weekend?
Well, you know, you look at it, and as you say, Johnny May, he's got to be up there. But Mike Brown's got to be there as well. He's the outstanding player. He created that try for Watson last week. His skill and his running with the ball is second to none. And, you know, this is the sort of game against an Italian side where you get the fracked defence, where it's ideally suited towards the fullback coming into the line. And that's something that Brown does very well. So I see Mike Brown as a potential scorer, if it's an any-time scorer.
Yeah, 5-4 for Mike Brown. I think if you're looking at the principles in the market for England, the outside backs, he probably offers the most value. He's obviously got a very good international try-scoring pedigree. You mentioned Johnny May as well. He's out there at 4-7. So again, it's a bit of a skinny price, but I think the try is...
If we're going to look at someone a bit farther off, let's look at a forward. Let's say James Haskell. He might actually get over without running into the post.
Well, that's it. As we said, a good game last weekend. He's maybe a little bit slow off the scrum for the opening try, but he carried the ball very well. And as you said, he did manage to run into the post for... Do you think that would have been... Obviously, the play was brought back for an accidental offside earlier in the piece, but do you think had the accident... I think it was against Nick Easter. Had it not been given, do you think that would have been given a try? Because, of course, grounding the ball against the post, it counts as a try, doesn't it, Jeff?
It does if you ground it against the post, but if you hit mid-air. The post above, it doesn't count. And, you know, realistically, if Haskell had missed the post, the likelihood is that he would have been... He tackled over the line, and that would have been a try. The fact that he virtually bounced off of it gave Wales the break out of it. The bit you're talking about with Easter was actually Dave Atwood's try that was... And so England, if you like, could have scored four tries against Wales. that would have been a fantastic result for England, but it would have all come from forward pressure, not necessarily something from the backs. I think James Haskell's got to be a good outside bet for a try.
7-2, so the value's certainly there, and you don't have to say one if you don't think there's going to be any chance, but would you look at any of the Italians, perhaps Sergio Parisi, as he has done time and time again, raising it to maybe lift Italian spirits, or perhaps one of the more obvious choices, Luke McLean, of course, an international campaigner of one of the highest level in the Italian side.
I think Hermani's got to be worth a try. You watched him against Ireland, and he certainly carries the ball well. He's a very physical for a fly half, really. And with the service he gets off Agori, he's likely to get opportunities to run, and he will see that there's an opportunity for him to show what he can do. So, you know, let's put him down as a potential try scorer.
Certainly, plenty of value to be had there. Kelly Himona at 11-1. The second game of round two sees us head to Dublin and the Aviva Stadium as Ireland take on France. It's a 5 p.m. kickoff, as I mentioned. Wayne Barnes in charge of this one. And if we're talking about team news, Jeff, I think the biggest and most significant bit of team news, arguably, of the weekend is the return of Ireland's fly half, Johnny Sexton. Of course, the only Northern Hemisphere player to be nominated for the IIB World Player of the Year, having a superb season. Well, he's been a superb player ever since he moved to France, and indeed prior to his move to Racing Metro. That is got to be a massive lift for Ireland, for me, not just for having on the field and the skills and personnel that he brings to the side, but also the way he raises players around him. I think when Johnny Sexton's on the pitch, all of a sudden Conor Murray becomes a world beater at scrum half.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Sexton has matured great in France, and partly playing against a French team, he knows a lot of these French players. He understands their game. He's been doing well for Racing Metro, as you say. He's been out for 12 weeks with this concussion band thing where he's had to sit out and wait. So there's a lot of frustration. He won't really be match fit. It'll be interesting to see how long he's kept on the field and whether Keatley comes back back on into the game. But I think that, you know, Ireland just didn't fire properly on all cylinders, and I think it was the disruption of losing Sean O'Brien, and obviously with him coming back into the side and Jamie Heaslip coming in back into the side, there's a certain amount of power in it. We didn't see much from France last week against Scotland. We saw them do their well-known line-out driving maul, but we never actually saw them produce the ball that we were expecting. And certainly for me, I mean, when you look at the fact they've got Scott Spedding in the side, they've got a lot of power with Bastereau and Fofana, I expected more from the French than I've seen. And to be honest, I think Ireland playing in Dublin are a side that will take this game.
Yeah, you mentioned all the important team news there. Just the one change for Philippe Saint-André and France. He brings in Eddie Benarao, the Racing Metro loose head, in an otherwise unchanged squad. And as you mentioned, three big personnel changes for Ireland. Jonathan Sexton, Jamie Heaslip and Sean O'Brien all back into the side. With regards to how this one is being traded, Ireland are favourites for the game, as I guess to no one's surprise. They're 2-5. France are 15-8. The handicap betting sees a 7-point head start for France at 10 to 11. How would you be looking at this one? For me, it's a strange one. You mentioned Ireland were very methodical, I think, in their victory last week. But, you know, again, they had a couple of personnel missing, like England. Also, the Stade Olympico is a very tricky place to go. The back in front of home fans today. But then you look at the French side and you read the names in the back line, you think, you know what, this is still a brilliant team.
Yeah, and they've got that certain something. And say, I was disappointed in the way that France played. You know, not take anything away from Scotland last week. Scotland stuck to the task very well, did well in the set pieces. Certainly the Irish will look at that and look at the way the Scottish line-out performed against France and see that as a positive for them to be able to play that with Paul O'Connell obviously playing for them. You've got to say that you can't really see a weakness in this French side. And from that point of view, it does make it hard for Ireland. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be something like 23-21 or something like that. So literally that's all the close levels with Ireland just pipping it, just coming out on top. They need to perform better than they played last week, and the French also do. So, you know, we have one of those classic games in prospect of two sides that have got very similar teams have got to produce a decent game. You look at it and you say the French back line, Spedding should be all right. Lopez had quite a good game with the boot last week. With the Irish now, Johnny Sexton coming back in, he will see Lopez as a man that he can attack, and that it's an area for him to perhaps break through and gain a foothold. Big thing for Ireland is how they stop Bastro. It's the same with everyone. When you look at them, when you look at Wales, you say, how do you stop Roberts? When you look at France, it's Bastro you've got to stop, because if he can draw in one or two players, it creates the space for players like Fofana, who we all know is a world-class player. The Irish side have got a young midfield, but they've got such great experience on their wings with Tommy Bowe and Simon Zebo. I think it'll be a close game. A very close game. And as I say, I could see Ireland maybe doing well in the set pieces. And you know, with Sexton playing his best, it should give Ireland the edge.
Fair enough. We have a couple of bets that would fall into your thinking there. Then, Jeff, obviously, France plus 7 on the handicap at 10 to 11, or a very narrow Ireland win, 1 to 5 points at 5 to 1. You mentioned a handful of players there, obviously the two centre pairings. You've got Jarrod Payne and Robbie Henshaw for Ireland, who are charged with stopping Wesley Fofana and Mathieu Bastereau. With regards to any time try scores, we mentioned a French winger who didn't actually manage to get on the score sheet last weekend, but Teddy Thomas, who we think if he can get the support, could be one of the ones to watch this tournament. He's an 11-4 shot to score any time on a Saturday afternoon. Do you have any particular try scorer picks, Jeff?
Well, I'd still go for Teddy Thomas, but I'd also look at Tommy Bowe. Yep. Very hungry man, looking for tries. Last week didn't get his hands on the ball as often as he'd like, and never got the opportunities to really show what he could do. This week it may be a different story, so let's go for Tommy.
He's in the betting at 9-4, Tommy Bowe, of course, a former top try scorer in the Six Nations. I'm going to add Jamie Heaslip to that list. I always like to back Jamie Heaslip as an anytime try scorer. He always seems to pop up at the back of the driving maul, or to carry from the back of the scrum or the breakdown, and I think he offers a little bit of value at 11-2.
Yeah, powerful player, a player who you say is in the right place at the right time, one of the best number eight in the Northern Hemisphere. His ability to be in the right place at the right time really does count. And, you know, he's unusual, because normally number eights are not at the back of the rucks and mauls. It's normally a little hooker down there.
Yeah.
But Jamie's managed to sort that position out for himself, so he gets on that try-scoring list every week, virtually.
Yeah, and 11-2, I think that the value could be there to be had. The final game of this weekend, Six Nations Classics, comes from Murrayfield. We've got Scotland in action against Wales. And I think, had this game been played last week, the prices would be a little bit further apart. But as it stands, it's the closest game on the console with regards to the handicap and with regards to the outright prices. Scotland are 11-8 for a home victory. Wales 4-7. The handicap is 3 points either way. Wales, if they are going to travel to Scotland and pick up their first victory of the Six Nations, Jeff, are going to have to do so without George North.
Yeah, but I really think that's it's a bit of a disservice to Wales. You know, I know they got beaten by England last week, but there were lots of elements in the Welsh game, particularly in the first half, which were quite good, and they play quite well. They seemed to fall away badly in the second half. Certainly Dan Biggar, I thought, fell away quite badly, and he will be looking to have a better game this week. I think Wales...
Just on that point, Jeff, I hate to cut you off. Why is James Hook not getting looking? Because I follow Gloucester quite closely, and I just can't believe the constant overlooking that James Hook has got from this Warren Gatland setup in Wales.
Yeah, I can't understand it either. I mean, James Hook, when he first burst onto the scene, was one of the most exciting young players around, and he's continued in that vein. He's showed his versatility. He's played fly half, he's played fullback, he moves around the field. He's got great talents. But it seems that the game that Gatland wants to play is down to either Bigger or Reece Priestland. It doesn't seem to be looking at James Hook as a serious contender. And yet, with the World Cup just five, six months away now, you would expect that he would be saying to James Hook, look, this is your chance to come into the squad, show me what you can do, and be a part of the World Cup. At the moment, the way it looks is that, as far as Gatlin's concerned, whatever happens, it's not going to be James Hook. And realistically, I can't understand that. He is a fantastic player. And it's a loss for Wales, but it's a bonus for all the rest of us Northern Hemisphere countries that have to play against them.
Yeah, I mean, that's me going off point slightly, but it is just something I thought I'd pick your brains about, since we've got you. So back to the betting. Scotland, with, I guess, a creditable enough performance in France last weekend, 15-8, they ended up losing. Try for Dougie Fife, Greg Laidlaw with a penalty, and it was just five penalties from the boot of Camille Lopez. How do you see this one? I say 11-8 outside. As the handicap's 3 points, very tentatively priced by the traders.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that it's going to be quite that cut and dry. I think that Wales will win it, and win it quite comfortably, actually.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
I hate to say it because I think that Scotland have done well. I think there's areas in Scotland's game that are really, really good. The two Gray brothers in the second row are dominating the line out. They're doing well in that set piece. The problem for Scotland, it's all been reported that Laidlaw's going to be questioning the referee before the game because of all the penalties they gave away. The reason that Scotland gave away so many penalties last week was because they were under pressure. If you're under pressure, you give away penalties. Scotland were under pressure in the scrum. They were under pressure in some of the areas in the loose, particularly when France got their driving maul going. And that's why they gave away the penalties. And the reality is, if they hadn't given away the penalties, it would have been tries. And France would have won by a bigger margin. I think that Wales certainly showed in the first half against England some touches of play that were very, very good. Big as chip across the field to his wingers, to Cuthbert once. Very good kicks, very good perceptive play. Didn't quite work out for them. And from that point of view, it was Wales under pressure from a dominant English set of forwards that lost them the game. I think that Scotland don't have the set of forwards that can dominate the Welsh as well as the English did. And that will give the Welsh backs a chance to run against the Scots side. For Scotland, their best player in their back by a country mile is Stuart Hogg, who's got great running ability. He also has a great vision. He seems to find space and time to be able to put players into space. But realistically, when you look along the rest of the back line, there's nothing that equates to what the Welsh have got. Nearest to him is, say, Tim Visser, who's a very good winger. But Liam Williams has come in for Wales, and Liam Williams, there's a lot of Welsh people in the valleys who think he should have been there last week in starting the game against England. He came on the field for a brief period of time, didn't really do much, but then against the way that England played, he didn't really have a chance.
That's true. So I guess you'd maybe say that the minus 3 points on Wales at 10-11 is one of your preferred bets of the weekend?
Yeah, I think that Wales will win that game by between 10 and 15 points.
Well, if you fancied, I'm just looking at the winning margins bettings now that we've got 16 to 20 points Wales win at 10 to 1, or if you want to be a little bit more conservative, the 11 to 15, which would fall into your vein of thinking there, if you like, is 13 to 2. We haven't actually got the try scorer markets priced up yet, because obviously team news for these two sides is still pretty fresh. This game, of course, the Sunday game of the weekend. But we saw last week Wales have Joy on the wing, and following a Toby Faletau carry, mentioned of course that for Scotland their sole try came from Dougie Fife. Who would you fancy, if anyone, to touch down at Murrayfield this weekend, Jeff?
Well, let's go for the player that all Wales are talking about, Liam Williams.
I think it would make sense to.
It does. He's been the talk of all the regional games, all the Pro 12 games. Big calls for him, and that in itself is a big call to replace either Cuthbert or George North in the Welsh side. You've got to be a good player, and for all the Wales to be talking about this boy as potentially a replacement for one of those two says a lot. You've got to say that he's going to be a standout player. People are going to be watching him, but it's an opportunity for him to cement his place in the Welsh team.
They're going to say live prices on those will be expected very, very shortly. And Jeff, then, to finish us off, I'll touch back on two markets that we talked about last week for the first of the podcasts. the outrights, we kind of differed. I think I was certainly more wrong than you, if you like, and as far as I thought that Wales might be a good outside bet for the Six Nations, and they're now 12-1 outsiders from 100-30. You fancied Ireland. They're now second favourites behind an even money favourite of Stuart Lancaster's England. Do you think the 7-4 about Ireland's good value, or do you think on the back of last week's performance you're going to be getting back behind the Red Rose?
No, I'm still going to stick with Ireland. Remember that England have got to go to Ireland and get a result. We're playing France at Twickenham, we're playing Scotland at Twickenham, but the favoured team of the whole tournament is Ireland. Everyone says they're the favourites, and we're playing them in Dublin. It's a bad place to go. It's a great place if you're a supporter. You have a wonderful time with a Guinness and a wonderful time with a crack. But if you're a player, you know you've been in the game. England still, I see them now as my second favourites. I think they'll finish second in the championship. I don't think Wales. Before it was between Wales and England. I think Wales won't recover from that loss against England. And I see Ireland still hanging on. I think Ireland will be the team to win the Six Nations.
I think 7-4 is certainly the value rather than the even money on England. Do you think we'll see a Grand Slam this year, Jeff?
I don't. No, I really don't. I think that there's just enough class across the board to say that we're a World Cup of 6 months down the line, that one or two teams will step up and produce a result.
So maybe
England play France at Twickenham. You would assume that England are going to win that game. It's the last game of the thing. England will probably be going for a Grand Slam or championship in that game. And, it'll just be France the ones to, lose the wooden spoon by beating England.
Lose a wooden spoon. Interesting. We can hope. Well, no winner of the Grand Slam is there at 5-6, which for me is quite a nice price. It was very short last week, and 5-6 is a little bit of a drift. Just quickly then, as we finish off, have you got a final thought of any player that caught your eye who you might maybe back to finish the tournament as a top try scorer, maybe someone that didn't get down on the dot down this weekend, or perhaps a player that did? Who have shortened in the betting now. Anthony Watson is the favourite in the betting on the back of his first try. Jonathan Joseph, second favourite. Your man Liam Williams, who's coming in for Wales this weekend, 25-1.
Yeah. The big thing is with Liam Williams is, will he keep in the side? If he kept in the side, I'd say, yeah, he's possible. But I can't really see him keeping in the side. Once George North is fit again, he'll come back. And, he's more or less out North because of this, all the fuss that was made about the blows on the head he had. And quite rightly, if you have even the slightest doubt about concussion, a player should be rested. So I can see North not playing this week, but being very much a part of Wales' rest of the Six Nations. So you've got to look at him as a potential leading try scorer as much as anyone else. I'd go for North, and you never know. Tommy May still there, thereabouts.
Okay, Johnny May there at 9-1, Tommy Bow at 12-1. They're next to each other in the betting, so combine the two, we'll go with Tommy May.
We'll go for the pair of them, mate.
Jeff, thank you very much, and I look forward to all this weekend's action and speaking to you on the back of it and ahead of next week's stuff next week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great weekend, actually. I think it's interesting. The first week is always slightly nervous and teams don't really perform as at their best. The second week in, we can get we'll have a better idea of where this championship is going.
Let's hope so.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.